Okay, yesterday we started tonight's the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe's father, yes. But it's not yet, tonight. Okay, we just started learning yesterday the dinim of carrying on Yom Tif. Just a few more things, well, there's a lot more to learn, but carrying Bechlal on Shabbos, and therefore it's connected also to Yom Tif, is a little bit different than all the other 39 melachas of Shabbos or Yom Tif. Gemara says that carrying is what's called melacha gerua. Melacha gerua means a very feeble, weak type of a work. It's different than all the other melachas in Shabbos. All of the other forbidden things in Shabbos, you're changing the object that you're doing something with. You plow, you're changing the earth. You plant, you're putting a seed in the ground. You harvest, you cut, you bake. Any melacha that you have on Shabbos changes the object itself. Carrying is different. Carrying doesn't change the object at all. If I carry from a private domain to a public domain, Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, I'm not changing the object at all. It's the same object. Except until now it was here, and now I'm carrying it outside. Until now it was outside, and I'm carrying it inside. So it's a different type of malacha, which is not really a strong malacha like all the other malachas. Therefore, the Gemara says by Shabbos that all the melachas we know, if it was done in the Mishkan, then it's considered forbidden to do on Shabbos. But carrying is doesn't. There's no such thing because carrying was done in the Mishkan because they also walked in the Mishkan. They also breathed in the Mishkan. I mean, you can't say because they walked in the Mishkan, you can't walk on Shabbos. It's not a melacha, it's not doing anything. Carrying is not doing anything either. Therefore, carrying is forbidden because it's a clear pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara said, Moshe Rabbeinu, believe it or not, like we said many times, there is one time in history that a Jewish leader said to the people, you gave enough money, we don't need any more. That was when they built the Mishkan. I think it was the first and last time in history that the rabbi said to the people, it's enough. We have a beautiful building, we have everything we need, you don't need any more money. So over there, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews, don't bring anything more to the Mishkan. And the Gemara learns out, from various different psukim, that was on Shabbos. What Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews, don't bring anything more for the Mishkan, was on Shabbos. What is Moshe Rabbeinu basically telling them? Don't bring from your houses or your tents to the public domain of the Mishkan, which was the Rosh Hashanah, that was the public domain. So from there, the Gemara learned out that carrying is forbidden on Shabbos, and obviously the same thing is Yom Tov. But because of that, we find a bigger leniency, the Rishonim write this, we find a little bit of a more lenient leniency by carrying on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, than it is by a lot of other things on Yom Tov. We were learning yesterday that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov even things that you're able to bring before Yom Tov. Remember, we learned normally the rule is anything that you could do before Yom Tov that doesn't change the food or in any way whatsoever, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov because you could do it out of Yom Tov. But by carrying, the halacha is, even though I could have brought my talis to shul yesterday, but I'm allowed to bring it today on Yom Tov. Why didn't you bring it yesterday? So why are you allowed to bring it today? You could have brought it yesterday before Yom Tov. What's the difference? So the Rishonim write, all the other malachas that you could do before Yom Tov, you don't do on Yom Tov. Why? Because you need to celebrate the Yom Tov. If you're going to be busy cooking things that you could have done yesterday, so you're going to be in the kitchen rather than enjoying the Yom Tov. But carrying, on the contrary, being able to carry you something that I need, that makes me feel better. I don't have to schlep it yesterday, I could bring it when I need it. And therefore, carrying in this respect, even though you're able to carry and bring things to shul yesterday, or whatever, you're allowed to carry it on Yom Tov. But as we learned, oh, by the way, another interesting thing, you're allowed to carry even on a doubt. What do you mean carrying on a doubt? What happens in California would you know better? It's cloudy outside. Yeah, you're walking in the street, it's cloudy. It might rain, it might not rain. Okay, so the question is, can I carry my raincoat? wearing it, obviously you're allowed to, that wearing you could on Shabbos too, right? Wearing is not carrying. But the question is, if it might rain, can I bring a raincoat? Can I carry a raincoat? And as long as you could. Why? Because again, the fact that it might rain, you might need to wear it, so you're allowed to carry it on Yom Tov, because you're not diminishing by carrying it any things of Yom Tov. But, again, any time you need something for the next day, you're not allowed to bring it on the first day Yom Tov. What?
And if you're talking about a place where there is a proper kosher eruv,
if there's a proper kosher eruv, then you can carry on Shabbos too.
No, on Yom Tov, does it make it any more?
If you can carry on Shabbos, why can't you carry on Yom Tov?
You can also carry on Yom Tov.
But no, but still there's a difference. Even if there's an eruv, or even if you're allowed to carry, you can't carry from one day for the next. I'll give you a very simple example. You're going to somebody's house for the second Seder. Okay? And you're not going at night. You're going before night to the person's house for the Seder. And you want to bring your own wine and matzah. Whatever. You want to carry your own matzah. You don't... Whatever. You want to bring your own matzah. So now you're going to carry it on the first day, at the end of the day. But what are you carrying it for? You're carrying it for the second night. Mainly you want to bring a siddur. Like we learned yesterday, you can always open up the siddur, read something from the siddur, and then, okay, use it that day. But things that you're not going to be able to use that day, like matzah or wine, so then you wouldn't be allowed to carry it until after nightfall. Then you could bring it to the house, because then you need it for the next day. Nothing. You have to either bring it before Yom Tov or wait until after nightfall. He gives an example. Chabad doesn't wear a kittel to Seder. You want to wear a kittel, you wear a kittel to Seder, right? Let's say. Non-Chabad people, Sfardim don't, right? They don't. Sfardim never wear a kittel. Even Yom Kippur.
I wear a kittel.
Huh?
I always wear a kittel.
You could wear a kittel every day for my part.
I mean Pesach, for the Seder.
Okay, Chabad custom is not. But, okay, so now let's say you're going to somebody's house for the second Seder. You can't carry your kittel for the second Seder. You could wear the kittel in the street, because again, wearing is not carrying. Wearing is wearing and carrying is carrying. Okay? Now, what happens though, and we started discussing this, but get into more details. What happens, okay, you brought your Haggadah to the guy's house. And now you want to take it home. You don't need that God anymore. It's the second Seder. It's done. Right? You don't need that God anymore. You're not allowed to take it in. You're not allowed to take it home. Now, unless... Why? Because it's not the place your faith is going to get stolen. If you're eating by the guy, you probably trust him that he'll give you back.
You can take it home that night. You can take it home after...
Yeah, I'm talking about that night. Because you're carrying... Why? What's wrong with... You're carrying...
Really?
For no reason. Okay? And look, I'll give you an example. When you finish your Agoda, you're allowed to put it back in the shelf. Even though you're preparing what, for next year? You're not preparing. You're putting it back where it belongs. Right? You're putting it back where it belongs. In fact, there's an interesting din in Shabbos. Okay? You finish eating your soup. Finish eating your soup Friday night, yeah? You're not having any more soup on Shabbos. Yes? Am I allowed to put the soup into the freezer? Think about it. I'm putting it in the freezer for next Shabbos. Correct?
Or for tomorrow.
Okay, but I'm putting... No, for tomorrow you keep it in the refrigerator. But let's say you want to keep it, you have leftover soup, you're going to keep it for next Shabbos. So the shayla that you're allowed to put in the freezer, so most poskim say you could. Why? I'm not preparing for next week. I'm putting it away. What's the difference if I put it away in the fridge or in the freezer? I have to put it away somewhere. So I'm putting it here instead of there. Is that called preparation for the next week? I'm putting it away.
But your intention is...
It doesn't matter. But I have to put it away somewhere, right?
I understand.
So where am I putting it? I have to dafka put it in a place where it won't last. I want it to put it in a place where it's going to last longer. I'll give you another example. See, for Chabadniks, this wouldn't be a problem. It's a whole discussion in Halacha. You finish Yom Tov, you bench Lulav and Esrig. Okay, you do Lulav and Esrig and Shul. Now the question is, can I carry it home? I'm allowed to carry it home. I don't need it anymore. I davened already. Okay. I said halal already. So if there's some people at home that still need to do the bracha, so then obviously I could bring it home.
You can find somebody.
So if you're a Chabadnik that benches lulav and esrog good people in the street, so of course you're allowed to carry it home because you're going to bump into a bunch of people and bench lulav and esrog with them. But if you're not a Chabadnik and you don't, you're embarrassed, to use the proper term, you're embarrassed of your Yiddishkeit, so you don't want to stop and ask a person to do something Jewish in the street, so then it's a shal if you're allowed to carry it home. But what's the heter? If you leave it in shul, it's going to get stolen or lost. It's very possible. It's going to get stolen or lost. So if you're afraid it's going to get stolen or lost, then you're allowed to bring it home for that reason. But otherwise, if you have a safe place in the shul, let's say, where you know it's not going to get borrowed indefinitely.
You have a locker.
Huh? Nobody ever steals in shul. They just borrow indefinitely. Jews, Jews never steal.
Ask the rabbi about the sword.
Jews never steal. Like I said, they borrow things indefinitely. Yeah. It's yours, but I'm going to use it. I'm borrowing.
How about if you go for the first to somewhere and you want to take your Agada back because you want to have it at home? So it's like returning it to the place.
No, but that's carrying. Returning the place is not a malacha.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to, what's the way of getting out of it? If you want to bring it home. When you get home, you read something from it. So then I need it at home to read something. So then I'm not carrying it just to, I don't need it anymore. I'm carrying it for a reason, because I want to look at my Haggadah or my Siddur to be able to daven something. That's all. Okay, next. What happens? What happens if it's for financial reasons? Let's say a guy is staying in the hotel Yom Tov and he has something very valuable in the hotel. He doesn't want to leave it in the room. Doesn't want to leave it in the room. So he's carrying it because he's going to have anguish if he doesn't carry it. He's going to ruin his Yom Tov if he doesn't carry it. So then most poskim consider that you're allowed to. Some poskim say you shouldn't. But in others, put it up by the desk in the front, whatever. But again, it's better to be machmed, right?
The companion sefer.
Huh?
The companion door, companion sefer.
No.
How about a companion wallet?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Therefore, for instance, if you're able to hide it, I mean, give it to the hotel and ask him to safeguard it for you, so then you would allow him to do it. What happens? It'll prevent him from leaving. The guy won't go out. If he can't carry, he's not going to go out of the hotel room. So he'll be stuck in the hotel room and he'll be upset all Yom Tov, and everybody agrees he could do it. What happens? Okay. Are you allowed to carry your house key? It's a very interesting din. Are you allowed to carry your house key? So the poskim write, interestingly, if you have a lot of people have combination locks on the doors. So they write, if you can use a combination lock, and therefore there's no need to take the key, then you shouldn't carry your house key on Yom Tov. From all this you see, by the way, it's not that Yom Tov you can just carry, and there's no problem carrying. There are issues with carrying. You're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov unless there's a reason for carrying it on Yom Tov. So if a person want to carry the key, let's say, so then if there's a combination lock, then you can't carry the key. Unless if you're not going to double lock, you won't want to leave your house, and it's a problem. Okay. Or another issue. What happens? You want to carry your key, but really there's somebody else in the house that can open the door for you. There's really somebody else in the house that can open the door. You don't have a combination lock, okay? You only have a key. But the spouse, the kids, the housekeeper, somebody's home. So then, Pascha Mike, you really shouldn't carry the key.
You don't know when they're going to be.
Okay, so again, if you don't know where they're going to be, and isn't that, but if you know for sure they're home and they're going to open the door for you,
yeah.
Huh?
You qualify before you leave. That's
I understand. I'm just showing
or
that.
If you left the door open, unlocked, then you shouldn't carry it.
If you can leave the door wide open, yeah.
No, not wide open, unlocked. So you can jump.
Most people don't leave their doors unlocked. Unless if you go to suburbia.
I hide my key.
Yeah, some people hide the key. But a lot of thieves know that Jews hide their keys. And they figure out where the people used to hide the keys used to go under the mat. You know, the front door had a mat, and they would hide the key under the door, under the mat. Okay, it doesn't take too much brains to know if a guy's going to hide his key. That's before, by the way, years ago, when we were growing up, there were no Erevs in cities. People just didn't carry on Shabbos. There was no Erevs. Nobody made Erevs. The small shtetlach in Europe had an Erev or the, in the Eretz Yisrael, the Kfarim, not the graves, the Kfars, the Kfarim, they would have, but in America, not New York, not Chicago, not Los Angeles, not Baltimore, nobody had Erevs. So what did people do with the keys? They would hide it either in the mailbox or they would hide it under the mat. And Goyim caught on after a while, and they used to go rob houses on Shabbos.